Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust earnings call for Q3 FY23. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode until the floor is open for questions. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. On the call, we have the following persons: Mr. Ankur Gupta, Managing Partner, Brookfield Asset Management, and Director, Brookprop Management Services Private Limited. Mr. Alok Aggarwal, Chief Executive Officer, Brookprop Management Services Private Limited. Mr. Sanjeev Kumar Sharma, Chief Financial Officer, Brookprop Management Services Private Limited, and Mr. Shailendra Sabhnani from Brookfield. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the third quarter FY23 earnings call for Brookfield India REIT. We continue to deliver robust performance, with around 1 million sq ft of leasing year to date, with around two-thirds being contributed from new leasing and the balance from renewals. We have also achieved 10% average escalation on 3.5 million sq ft of leased area to date. Our occupancy has remained stable while achieving a 9% NOI run rate growth over FY22. Our NOI run rate as of December 2022, which stood at 961 crores, has a further embedded growth potential of 18%, through a mix of new leasing, re-leasing, and MTM potential that is well supported by a robust 2.2 million sq ft leasing pipeline. We also continue to evaluate select sponsor assets which will further grow the REIT portfolio organically. The balance sheet continues to remain robust with a 32% LTV, a AAA rating, which has enabled us to achieve highly competitive pricing. On the recent budgetary announcements, we are putting together a representation along with industry participants, which my colleague Sanjeev will further elaborate. With this, I will hand over to Alok for a deep dive into the business update. Thank you.
Thank you, Shailendra. A very good afternoon to everyone. I'm pleased to announce that we have delivered another quarter of stable performance for our unit holders. We have seen a consistent improvement in the physical occupancy at our assets in the quarter ending December. Comprising the holiday season in many organizations, our assets have continued to witness physical occupancies of over 50%. This increase in physical occupancy is driving increased leasing inquiries. We continue to attract new tenants to our world-class portfolio, and many of our existing high-quality tenants are looking to expand their footprint in our portfolio assets. Our leasing remains on track, and we have a healthy leasing pipeline. During the last quarter, we leased 332,000 sq ft, comprising 241,000 sq ft of new leasing and 91,000 sq ft of renewals. Additionally, we signed expansion options of about 40,000 sq ft. The total leased area of the portfolio has remained stable at 11.9 million sq ft, and we have maintained our committed occupancy at 83% and effective economic occupancy at 88%. Our existing leases have delivered robust embedded growth with a 12% average escalation on 1.5 million sq ft during the quarter. In the last nine months, we have achieved gross leasing of 949,000 sq ft with a healthy mix of existing and new tenants taking up space. Additionally, we have signed expansion options of 117,000 sq ft and have a robust leasing pipeline with 2.2 million sq ft of ongoing discussions. This should provide a further fillip to our leasing recovery. We have added many new office tenants into our portfolio in the year till date, including Aristocrat Technologies, LTIMindtree, and Macro Hill. Backed by robust cash flows from our underlying assets, the board has approved a distribution of rupees 5 per unit this quarter. We remain on track to achieve our H2 FY23 NDCF guidance. It has been 1 year since we completed the acquisition of Candor TechSpace N2. We are pleased with the leasing success we have achieved in this asset, with the last new lease signed at a rental 15% higher than the income support rental of rupees 60 per square feet. The newly completed tower at the asset, Tower 11A, has been 77% leased to Aristocrat, a leading mobile game developer. The balance 23% is available with them as an expansion option, making the tower fully committed within 7 months of completion. ESG continues to be a key component of our overall strategy, and we continue to work towards a sustainable future with our target to achieve net zero by 2040. The floors we have received, such as GRESB 5-star rating and the prestigious Golden Peacock Award, bolster our faith that we are making meaningful progress and invigorates us to increase our efforts to create sustainable campuses. We remain closely connected with the communities that we operate in, and we recently launched the Trees of Hope campaign with the objective of providing education to children, which has seen a fantastic response from all our stakeholders. The REIT has an attractive acquisition pipeline and is evaluating 6.5 million square feet across two assets, Candor Tech Space G1 in Gurugram and downtown Powai in Mumbai. These acquisitions, if materialized, would help broadbase the REIT and diversify our offering to our tenants. Backed by our high-quality portfolio, we continue to remain focused on the path of value creation for our unit holders, and we continue our efforts to deliver long-term value to our partners and communities. Now I would like to invite Sanjeev to provide the financial updates. Thank you.
Thank you, Alok. Good evening, everyone. I'm pleased to announce that we have achieved an NDCF of 168 crore rupees, means 5 rupee 1 paisa per unit in quarter 3 of financial year 2023, and are on the track to achieve our full year guidance of 20 rupees 25 paisa per unit. For the 9 months of financial year 23, we have already achieved an NDCF of 15 rupees 26 paisa per unit. The board has approved the distribution of 168 crore rupees or 5 rupees per unit this quarter. With this, we have distributed 509 crore rupees or 15 rupees 20 paisa per unit for the 9 months of financial year 2023. There were recent budgetary announcements regarding taxation of a component of distribution that accounts for around 50% of our current distributions. It is pertinent to note that apart from distributions, REITs provide capital appreciation driven by embedded growth drivers in the underlying assets, and the taxation on capital gains of REITs remains unchanged. We are examining the impact of the budget announcements and, along with industry participants, are evaluating next steps, including making appropriate representations. Our operating lease rentals for the quarter are 207 crore rupees, which is 43% higher than the same period last year. The adjusted NOI for the quarter, including income support from the sponsor group, is 240 crore rupees, which is 60% higher than quarter 3 financial year 2022. For the 9 months of financial year 2023, we achieved a 33% growth in our operating lease rentals at 616 crore rupees and a 48% growth in our adjusted NOI at 716 crore rupees, which is primarily driven by the addition of Candor Tech Space N2 into the portfolio and a significant improvement in our CAM margins over financial year 2022. The improvement in our CAM margins was driven primarily by some of occupiers moving to the higher hours of operation and because of the higher physical attendance we have seen at our assets. We continue to maintain a strong balance sheet with a 32% loan to value, and robust cash flow generated by our high quality assets have ensured that our debt is rated AAA stable by CRISIL. This has enabled us to see a limited increase in the average interest rate to 7.95% as on 31st December 2022, which is 119 basis point increase in the interest rate during 9 months of financial year 23 as compared to a 225 basis point increase in the repo rate during the same period. With the highest credit quality and minimal refinancing risk, we have witnessed only a partial pass-through of the increase in benchmark rates to our borrowing costs. Thanks, everyone. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is, you know, obviously with respect to the tax. So, you know, based on your assessment, what is the implication if the budget proposals go through? And secondly, what is the industry and you trying to do about it? And related to that, how does it impact the ROFO proposition?
So, Puneet, this is Ankur. This is not taxation that you're talking about as applicable uniformly for everybody. So let's just make that distinction.
Yeah.
To say that this is the impact is not going to be a holistic answer.
Sure.
Second, we've heard, a lot of commentary around, that this was that, principal repayment to the REIT, et cetera, almost relates to not paying taxes. Debt repayment, the way we've all learned, happens from post-tax income as applicable. So I think there is a little bit of commentary that's required, and there's a little bit of confusion that needs to be plugged in. As Sanjeev mentioned, we are making representations to make sure that the point is well established. Just like dividends are paid from post-tax income, debt repayment on the principal side also happens from net operating profit after tax, right?
Yeah.
And then finally, the capital gains nature of suitable capital adjustment as it relates to principal payment are already in the code right now. So on all three counts, I would say that this needs a clarification, and we have, as Sanjeev said, made representations or are going to make representations, because this impacts and clarity is required.
Yeah.
So sorry, there was another question that you had.
Yeah, no, so what does it do to the ROFO proposition, right? In case there is no change in the budget proposal and it does get passed through, how does it impact the ROFO proposition?
So these are long-term aspects. This is a product which has dividends, it has a product that has capital appreciation, etc. So I don't think fundamentally, things change. Of course, it's not great if tax codes either are tinkered with too frequently or there's confusion that gets created, which I don't think is going to be the case. India is a very robust REIT environment. We've learned our regulations from the best places in the world, and I think clarification will come through is my understanding, or at least my hope. To grow the REIT through acquisitions remains our strategy.
Yeah. So just related to that, if I may, unfortunately, there on the news article which related that Brookfield's Powai portfolio might get sold to GIC, is that something that you would even evaluate, or should we think that everything that Brookfield holds will ultimately flow into the REIT?
I don't think it's fair for me to comment upon a media article here. But even in the presentation we put out and in the speaking note that Alok just mentioned, downtown Powai is being considered as part of the ROFO portfolio.
Understood. That's helpful. My other two questions are just a bit on financial side. There was a positive tax impact of almost 309 million for this quarter. Are we likely to see more of this in the remaining year or all those refunds are done with now?
Puneet, Sanjeev here. As you know how our tax regime works, the withholding tax gets deducted every quarter, and then in some quarters, the refund comes. Over a period of time, it's tax neutral, I will say, because in some quarters you will see negative where withholding tax is deducted, and some quarters you will see refund. It's a continuing process which will happen till perpetuity.
For this year, is there more to come or are we done with fiscal 2023?
There are certain refunds in the balance sheet outstanding. We can't exactly comment on the timing, whether we will be able to get those refunds in the current quarter, because we are only one quarter away from the year-end, or in the coming quarters.
Okay, understood. Can you also clarify how much of your unoccupied portfolio is SEZ now?
What is the question?
How much of the unoccupied portfolio is SEZ?
By square footage, I would say most of our vacancy right now is in the SEZ portfolio.
Okay, understood. Last, if I may squeeze in, there are some big expiries due in FY 2024, especially from Kensington. Any update or color you want to give there?
Puneet, this is Alok. I think we have mentioned in past that discussions have progressed well, and it's just a question of time. You know, we should be able to get confirmation from tenant for further, you know, renewal and confirmation. We are advanced stage of discussions, very advanced stage.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much. All the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Kunal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on, you know, the developments that came through as part of the budget. Ankur, on the repayment of debt, is there representation about trying to get it reversed or see what workarounds might be possible? You know, if you could clarify that one.
I, you know, the industry is making a joint representation, so it's not probably fair for me to make my assessment. As I said, that there are clarifications rather than reversals that are required right now. Because as I said, one is there was, again, there's a lot of chatter around that, you know, this was a channel, which was they're trying to, I would say, quote-unquote, "loophole" around taxation. That's not the case, right? That's a clarification required.
Yeah.
The existing codes provide for dealing with such repayments of debt leading to distribution. I would say it's a matter of the tax code of the country to be interpreted properly and clarifications required from the announcement made during the budget. We'll have to, you know, wait and see how this plays out.
Right. Okay. Then, you know, on the SEZ part of it or the Desh Bill, Mindspace was of the view that, you know, again, the industry would sort of talk about trying to make adjustments to the existing policy itself. Do you have any thoughts there as to, you know, how fast could we see progress on this particular front, et cetera?
Kunal, this is Alok. You know, we had multiple discussions with governments and regulatory bodies. I think there's sufficient progress has been made here, and that's the indication we have. Difficult to commit timelines, but there's sufficient progress has been made. At the same time, you know, what we also is, and you've seen the news of Aristocrat, what has been done. We are repitching all our properties, and we see sufficient attractiveness for SEZ properties also. Both angles, sufficient progress with government, difficult to commit timelines. I think few months more. At the same time, you know, we are seeing, you know, interest also there for SEZs, and we continue to work with tenants for leasing of SEZ properties also.
Yeah. Okay, and then the last one from me, you know, your average rentals at 64 rupees, it basically feels unchanged over a span of 8 quarters. I was wondering as to why should that be, because you've been getting the escalations. Is that mainly because of any sort of a mix change maybe caused by N2 or anything else going on there?
It's one leader, so we can look at the details, but of course we have seen a lot of leasing in N1, and of course leasing in N1 we have kind of now gone from almost 52 rupees, now 60 rupees, 63 rupees. So that is one reason where, you know, N1 the leasing rental is lower.
Okay, so this should all be mixed led, is your guess, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Shri Karthik Velakani from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, team. Just a quick clarification on the taxation changes in the budget. In the current form, will there be any benefit to the cost basis on the capital gains?
Sorry, Srikarthik, if you could just clarify your question, and I mean, we try to clarify from our position on the as you would appreciate that it's all, we all have the same information, but if you could just clarify your question, then we'll try to see what best we can do to answer.
Yeah, instead, if the principal repayments, instead of being classified as principal repayments, they're classified as income. Earlier, the cost basis would have been lowered because of this. Now, the capital gains component at least would be adjusted upwards. Right? So there will be lower capital gains and then lower capital gains tax. Is that the right understanding?
I mean, when we stated that, you know, there is existing law or tax framework to deal with the entire picture. I mean, you're right that both can't coexist. So we won't be in a position to answer what part of it is the right answer, because there is a little bit of confusion there, and that's the clarification that the industry has sought. A repayment, in our opinion, is not repayment is repayment. We can't classify as you know, be deemed fit, right?
Understood. So just to clarify this, effectively the outcomes are, if they sort of roll this back, then effectively your capital gains increase. If they do not, then you get a benefit there. Is that the right understanding?
Your first part is probably the right understanding as it relates to the treatment to date anyway, before the recent announcements came in. So I don't think anything changes on that front.
Understood. Okay, this is very helpful. The second question is, what percentage of our operating assets are classified as SEZ, and could you also quantify if what percentage of that area is the vacant currently?
Yeah. So this is Alok. So out of assets we have, N1 is non-SEZ. Other assets are SEZ. And as we have mentioned, that 90% of the vacant area is in SEZ.
Okay. And are you also looking to selectively denotify some of this, depending on obviously approvals there?
Yeah, subject to approvals, we can look at denotifying. It's accretive for us. We can look at it. But you know, right now you can denotify new buildings, but not the old or occupied buildings. That provision is not there.
Understood. And lastly, because you have the way you have mentioned your NOI growth over a Q4 base, the way to interpret this is, of course, that a 9% absolute growth so far is effectively annualizing to 12 to 13% on a full year basis. Is that the right interpretation of here?
I don't think that's the right interpretation. It's comparing steadies or, you know, run rate to run rate. So the right interpretation is, if we extend that to 18% potential, this portfolio has a stabilized potential of more than 1,100 crores of income per year.
Okay. Got it. Understood. All right. So that is all for me. I'll come back in the line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Ankur Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you. Sorry, there are a few questions. So if you can,
yes, sir. We just got a question from Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much and good afternoon, everyone. A couple of questions. One is, if you can just talk about what does 18% embedded NOI growth over a period of time can translate into DPU growth?
So, Sameer, we've just talked about the NOI growth that we see from here on a run rate basis to stabilization. I think DPU will be a factor of some other aspects as well. You know, like financing, etc. So, you know, you may probably make assumptions with respect to other factors, but otherwise, this is broadly how we think NOI shaping up as we continue to look at the portfolio stabilizing.
In other words, Sameer, this requires almost nil capital investment. So, all of this should ultimately flow through your DPU.
Okay, so what you're suggesting is that your DPU growth should broadly track NOI growth going forward.
Yeah, there is about 15% to 20% embedded growth in DPU potential of the existing operating portfolio.
Okay, now Ankur, that's very helpful. Thanks for that. And the second question I had was taking from your press release that you have achieved 10% average escalation on 3.5 million square feet of leased area in 9 months. So, if you can just talk about it, normally it would be 15%, but is there any, one third of the leases being on annual escalation? Is that what's driving it? If you can just talk about this.
So, our escalations in the Kensington asset are typically the annual escalation of 4.5% to 5%, and the Candor assets typically have a 15% escalation every 36 months. So the blended average of that in the 9 months is the 10% figure which you see.
Okay. Now that's very clear. So there's no change to 5% and 15%. Yeah. So it's just a mixed thing, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. And so the page on the inorganic options, so G1 rentals are at rupees 75. Just curious, is this the market rate in that neighborhood or is it very highly under-indexed?
So you're talking about G1.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is an in-place rent. So this is an in-place rent, and of course, you know, some of the leases have been, signed earlier. Of course, today when we look at leases are, could be happening at about 15 to 20% more rental than what is in-place rent.
Okay. Well, which means if and when this asset comes in, we'll come with a fair bit of mark-to-market upside. And that's what I was trying to get to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And sir, one final question from my side is on the CAM recovery. How does this work? And is there, at 50% physical occupancy, are you pretty much there or you think there is some more scope for CAM to go up?
So Sanjeev here, Sameer. Normally our CAM is cost plus margin basis. So whatever we incur in the expenditure, the margin is added and recovered. With the physical occupancy of 50%, there is a headroom of, reasonably good headroom for CAM income to increase. If you just go to our slide number 13, where we have shown the organic growth potential, where we are talking of increase of 18% in our NOI, 30 to 35% potential of increase in the CAM margin itself is there in our portfolio when we will get stabilized NOI.
Yeah, okay, got it. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, thanks for that. And sorry, one more. I think you guys have talked a fair bit about the budget announcement, but just one more. This is going to be, if it goes through, it's going to be applicable from 1st April 2024. So you would have, say, 5 quarters. You know, is there anything that you can do to mitigate the impact?
We are not sure that that's the right understanding.
Sameer, this is applicable from AY24, which means it would be next FY.
Yeah.
So applicable from 1st of April next year or the coming month.
23.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, got it. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from Puneet Gulati from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. So this is effective for FY24, right? And if it goes through, for your FY24 income will be subject to this taxation for FY24 distribution.
Distribution will be.
Yeah. Yes, understood. Okay. The next, can you give some sense of what is the achievable rents for all of your 4 locations currently?
So, is there a specific question on asset? Because we have stated the market rent versus in place, etc. But happy to answer any particular question about...
So like to like for each of the 5 assets that you have, if you can give some sense of where those leasing rents are moving currently.
Yeah, so let me kind of and I will let me talk about what the leases we have signed in last 6 months. So let's take N1. Today N1 we are crossing 62, 63. That's or even touching 65, 68, you know, smaller spaces. That's the kind of a number we're talking about. N2 now we have closed something at 70, but I think 65 is the rent what has got in last 3-4 months what we are signing. When we talk about G2, it can be around 90. For a smaller space, could be 90 plus. For a larger space, could be slightly lower than 90. So that's where we are on G2. Then on Calcutta, what we are hoping to sign, maybe should happen mid 40s, anything between 43 to 45. And Mumbai can vary between 115 to, or rather I would say 120 to 125.
So there hasn't been any meaningful increase in the market rentals per se over last quarter, right? That's the message.
I think if you really look at Noida, we were in mid 50s to 60s. Now we are crossing 62, 63, which is N1. N2 we were signing around 60. We have crossed 65. We have crossed 65 there. Gurgaon, we continue to be range between 90 to 95. Calcutta, now we are around mid 40s. And again, increase. Of course, something has to materialize in short time. And Bombay is around 120, 125, which we have indicated earlier.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So that was the last question. Over to you, Mr. Ankur Gupta, for closing comments.
Okay, thank you, everybody, for your participation today. And we look forward to getting back in touch with you shortly. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.